I'm here with Mary Feldblum of the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign, along with Robert Koops. Dr. Koops, thank you for coming as well. We have had a lot of discussion in the political campaign about Obamacare, pro and con. Does this relate in any way to that discussion?
It definitely does, and thank you, Rachel, for having me here. There are so many concerns today, and it's not simply Obamacare, it's the insurance system. That's what we're focusing on, and the pharmaceutical drug industry. Premiums are going up. It's not for people in the private market as well as on the exchange, those who purchase through the exchanges, and co-pays, deductibles, surprise bills for people who think that they're covered, and all of a sudden they get they are not. And then there is something that the insurance industry is trying to do to control cost is to narrow networks so that the choices you have of doctors and hospitals are even more limited. We have been working on a proposal for over 20 years now. It's the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign is the largest coalition in the history of our state. 150 organizations and very diverse health professionals, ASACE associations, just all kinds of organizations that have decided that it makes a lot of sense for New Mexico with a small population just to set up its own health plan that would cover almost all New Mexicans. It would not cover, for instance, the military and military retiree. They have their own health care system. Be very complicated to take that one over. And federal retirees are not covered because if they joined this plan and left the state, they would never be able to get back into their federal health plan. So that can't happen. The tribes, as sovereign nations, can decide whether they voluntarily want to join this plan, and there are complexities. This is a New Mexican plan. The Navajo are across state lines. So how do we address that situation? The bill, I'll just describe it briefly. Essentially, the Health Security Act, which will be introduced this coming session, would enable our state to set up its own health care plan akin to like a co-op. As I said, most New Mexicans would be automatically covered. You don't have to shop around for gold, silver. There are no deductibles in this plan, so there's no, I don't know how much of a deductible I'm willing to risk my health on. And there's complete freedom of choice of doctor and hospital, including across state lines. And the services offered would be no less than what the state employees have, which is a really good package. It includes not only good medical care, good mental health benefits. It also includes health education, like diabetes education, covers prevention, and it includes acupuncture and chiropractic treatment. So it's a good package that would be the baseline for this plan. The plan would be administered by a citizens board. It's not a state agency that would run it. No cabinet secretary can sit on this board. No politician can. Nobody from the insurance industry can. And there are 15 board members, or we call them commissioners. 10 come from would come from or represent business and consumer interests. 5 would represent provider health facility interests. And they are geographically representative, which is very important for this area. This plan will not be administered by Albuquerque. It's Albuquerque and Santa Fe would only have 6 out of the 15. So 9 come from outside Albuquerque and Santa Fe. And that was fully the intent of the sponsors of this legislation to make sure that rural New Mexico feels that this plan is going to help rural New Mexico and not just funnel all the dollars into Albuquerque and Santa Fe. It would be paid for by using existing public dollars, the portions of Medicaid, agreements with Medicare, and premiums that are sliding scale based on your income. And now with the Affordable Care Act, there are subsidies for people up to 300%, 400% of poverty, I think it is. And there's the Medicaid expansion program, so people are eligible for that. So there are extra dollars. All of this is to be figured out in what we call a very careful approach. This plan in the first year would be the numbers crunching year, figuring out, is this affordable? You know, what is the cost and what kind of revenue sources do we have? The other piece of it, and we call this icing on the cake, is you came here, Rachel, in a car, and you're paying for health care through your automobile insurance. The Act requires the superintendent of insurance to lower commercial and private passenger automobile insurance as well as workers' compensation. Why? Because they have large health components to them. If I break my leg in a car accident and this health plan pays for that broken leg, then I don't need to apply to my auto insurance company to have them pay for some of that. So essentially, that can be lowered in the premium. And same thing with workers' comp, the injury on the job. So those are real. It coordinates our healthcare dollars in our state, which is poor. We need to coordinate things enormously. There have been two studies done in New Mexico, one in 1994, so they're old, and another one in 2007, both concluded that if New Mexico set up a plan that included all or most New Mexicans, within 5 years, billions of dollars would be saved. And this is enormous blessing for us, because you know, everybody knows how rising healthcare costs are impacting state budgets, but city, county budgets, and consumers, and of course doctors and hospitals. And the savings occur because this plan shifts the role of private insurance. So you can buy extra, but essentially we would be self-insuring people. This plan would be self-insuring most people. So that's, I'll stop there so you can ask me questions. So,
Does any of the national legislation, including the Affordable Care Act, preclude states setting up their own systems?
That's a great question. No. In fact, our coalition was instrumental in pushing our Senator Bingaman to get a waiver for state innovation in the Affordable Care Act. We very quickly realized Massachusetts was the one to set up an insurance exchange for its population, and that was what was the model in the Affordable Care Act. And for those of your listeners who are a little confused about an exchange, essentially most people get their insurance through their employer, and you can get it through the private market. But the idea was, if you're not eligible for Medicaid and you don't have insurance, where can you buy insurance? Because it's required under the Affordable Care Act. And then the thought was, have an Amazon-like shopping center. And so that's what the exchange is. It allows those who are uninsured to shop for plans that are heavily regulated of what they offer on this exchange. And many people are eligible for subsidies to help them pay for the premiums. And that's very unique in terms of the Affordable Care Act. But exchanges may not work in a population such as ours, which is very poor, low income, because most of our uninsured would be eligible for the Medicaid and Medicaid expansion. So the numbers signing up in our exchange would be low, and that wouldn't attract a lot of insurers. They would have problems with that. We know that some of them have gone in, Blue Cross left, and then they're back in. Presbyterian has left. So and the numbers have been low. So we recognized that it was really important to allow states to figure out something different that was more appropriate to who they were, their needs, their culture. And so that's what the waiver for state innovation allows.
So to review, in terms of individual participation in the state, does this implementation of a statewide system preclude someone participating in the national exchange to enroll, say, through the Affordable Care Act?
Okay. It would be instead of. That's the way it would work. So if you enroll in the exchange, you are shopping for an insurance plan. Under this proposal, you're a resident of New Mexico, unless you're military or one of the exemptions, then you're automatically covered. You don't have to shop around for an insurance plan unless you want extra.
For each resident of the state, and I assume that would be both citizens and undocumented residents, how do the individuals pay? Is it covered through income taxes and basic fees that we pay anyway? Or is there actually a set amount that each person has to pay monthly, annually, et cetera?
Think of this as like a co-op. So it is not a tax-based system. So if I'm a member of the military and I've got my own military plan, I'm not going to pay anything. It's those who are covered by this plan that would pay. And it's sliding scale, income sensitive. And there are those that wouldn't pay because they're eligible for Medicaid. And there would be a cap at the high end. And the advantage of a sliding scale premium, we're not used to this, is if I'm working 40 hours a week and all of a sudden I work 20 hours a week, my premium goes down. And employer contributions also would be required depending on number of employees and size of payroll. And all of this is to be figured out during that first year to see if it's affordable. So I can't tell you, you know, how much you'll cost. And, of course, keep in mind your auto insurance premium will go down. it's very important, I think, that the Legislative Finance Committee actually figure out whether this is an affordable model. The payments would have to be collected, and that's another discussion through in the legislative process. Just the way your Social Security and your Medicare is, if you're working, it would come out through payroll. So a simple formula that would be very easy, particularly for small employers, to just add a field to their Quicken Books or whatever they use. And then those of us who are consultants and pay gross receipts tax, we're self-employed, there could be an additional page on our gross receipts tax so that we pay, because you don't want anybody socked with a premium at the end of the year. And then there are those who are unemployed, and the chances are they would be eligible for Medicaid. So they wouldn't be paying.
Right, and that brought up something else. In the national discussions, one of the ideas that was brought forth nationally was that instead of a separate Affordable Care Act or something to fold in Medicare for
Medicare
everyone.
For all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For everyone. That basic system for everyone to pay in and everyone to use Medicare, which has been fairly consistent. So for those individuals eligible for Medicare, they would probably be using Medicare instead of the statewide system.
This could be a supplement to Medicare. And there are strong protections for retirees who have employer supplements to their Medicare. But it would make a lot of sense, and there would have to be agreements with CMS about how to fold this in, how to fold Medicare in, and how it would work. For Medicare recipients who would, of course, never lose their Medicare. But it makes a lot of sense. My 92-year-old dad always told me, he said, Mary, I want to be in a health risk pool with 20-year-olds. I don't want to be in one with over 65. And he's right, because the whole purpose of insurance is that the young, the old, the healthy and not so healthy are all in it together. And the kind of system we are so accustomed to is so these little pools, these little risk pools all around. You've got seniors in one hand, and then you've got hundreds of different types of insurance policies, each with their own little mini pool, and employers have a pool with their employees. It's just an extraordinarily expensive system, and it impacts our hospitals and our doctors' offices, who have to spend enormous amounts of time, energy, and money on figuring out how to this very complex claim processing system.
So the anticipated reduction in cost would be from a reduction in overhead and administration mm-hmm. costs.
Correct. Both by shifting the role of private insurance so that they're no longer responsible for insuring the New Mexicans, you're really saving an enormous amount of money in that regard, but you're also saving it for clinics and hospitals and doctor's offices, who can then spend that money on health care, not on the bureaucracy.
And as you say, you can't anticipate what savings might be achieved, but in general, are you foreseeing that the per payer cost would be significantly lower than with, say, the Affordable Care Act or other insurance avenues?
I think what the studies do when they compare the current system to something like health security is they look at the patterns of health costs, and they're going up. We all know that. And then they compare it to if you have a system in which you're self-insuring most people. And they say that you will have cost increase, but the rate of increase is much, much lower. Because you want to factor in new technologies, you want to factor in aging populations. And so no health economist worth their salt is ever going to tell you that health costs are going to go down. It's comparing one system to another. And in this case, it is quite dramatic, really dramatic. I mean, it's very. If you look at the old studies on our website, www.nmhealthsecurity.org, you can actually get copies of those studies. And then the World Health Organization does comparisons of countries they're all different the way they do it, but they provide, the European countries provide universal health care for their residents, and Canada and Japan, they have different ways of doing it. And so ours is actually smothered in green and red chili. It's a real homegrown approach. It's not imitating anything in the world that we know of. It's New Mexican.
How soon is it possible that such legislation might actually make it to a ballot?
That would not be possible in New Mexico. It has to pass the legislature and be signed by the governor. So the bill has been introduced various times. We have had input from people from around the state. I've been to Gallup before. It's been a while, but always are asking disparate people, what concerns you if we set up our own health plan? And so over the years, there have been really wonderful changes to the bill to make it a very workable model and to do it slowly and carefully. As I mentioned, the numbers crunching and then setting up the board and with public input, figure out a lot of details. And if people like this plan, the most important thing is for people to know about it. They can go to our website and learn information about it. And let their legislators know that they like it and they'd like to see why don't we do this? There's no risk, the first year's numbers crunching. And we have a lot of legislative support. In fact, at the local level, we have 34 cities and counties that have passed resolutions in support of health security. My own county, Sandoval County, did it. And it's been bipartisan at the local level. So you have liberal Santa Fe to conservative Roswell that has actually endorsed this plan.
Do you foresee that there will be any movement towards attempting petitions on the community level?
I think that it's up to local groups, with me is Rob and others here that I've met, if they feel that is an effective mechanism to let their legislators know that this is important and we want them to support it, that's a very good mechanism. Statewide, it'd be difficult, but I think at a local level, we have a lot of local support. As I mentioned earlier, 150 organizations, and they're from different areas of the state, and we're basically a volunteer organization. And without volunteers, we wouldn't be where we are at. And we just have, and that has been critical to volunteers help educate other people and actually have helped and gained support with their local city councils and county commissions.
You mentioned, Mary, that this is a homegrown process, a Christmas mix, red and green chili. You also mentioned that there were some aspects of this that might resemble what Massachusetts has done. Are there any other national or regional healthcare systems that you have referenced in developing this model?
It isn't similar to Massachusetts. Massachusetts did the insurance exchange model, which was the model for the Affordable Care Act to deal with the uninsured. And this is not a one-stop shopping model at all. It's an automatic coverage model, which is very different. And it shifts the role. the exchange, you're purchasing private insurance. The whole private insurance system is in place, and I think that's what's frustrating people, because we're seeing premiums and copays and deductibles. We certainly, a lot of us have read bills from other states, kind of reacted to them, and then we were very fortunate in having some very sophisticated legislators in the early 90s who were involved, like Representative Max Call, who was the chair of appropriations. And I've done lobbying for many years, and you know, working with legislators like Senator Howie Morales, they're involved and they're thinking about, you know, and they understand the structure of New Mexico and what we could do and what we can't do. So there are some unique pieces to this. For instance, I think we're the only proposal, and there are maybe 22, 23 states that have proposals that are trying to shift the role of private insurance in different ways. And we're the only one that has a geographically representative commission. And we think that's important. We want our rural areas to feel that this is going to really help them. And we have, in some areas of the country, they don't have Native Americans. And we have been in discussions with tribes over the years, so the language in the bill really recognizes and acknowledges that they are sovereign nations and that there are issues, and that there's time in this piece of legislation after, if the numbers look good, there's maybe 2, even 3 years for the setup of this thing. Because it's complicated, and the tribes will have a lot of say as to how they want to participate, if they want to participate.
There are some so-called socialized medicine systems in some European countries. This sounds not so much like that, since the role of the health providers has not changed. Mm-hmm. How they get paid is going to change. Is that my understanding?
Correct. Socialized medicine system, I think Sweden or England are the real models, where the physicians are paid for by the government. There are private doctors in those systems, but for the most part, it's the whole system is socialized. This is more like social insurance. This is, you know, we're sharing the risk. Canada does have a private physician system. And this would work too. And we've had a lot of discussions and meetings and workshops with physicians to see how it would work for them, so that they don't have all the headaches that they have today. And so we're very happy with that.
Now, it's a little premature to talk about the implementation of this plan in New Mexico. It's a proposal at this point. However, if in a few years this is legislated, it does become reality. Do you foresee that it might become a new model for other states?
Definitely become a new model. I have been asked to speak at several conferences, and in fact, I got a phone call from a representative from Arizona who said he found out about us and got my name through the New Mexico Legislative Council and was very impressed with the bill. I think for rural states, it's definitely could be a model. Colorado has a proposal on its ballot, and they have taken the idea of a co-op from us. And so I think it definitely could be a model. There will be a bill, though, introduced this coming session, for sure.
What is the website for the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign? Where can people find out more information? If they want to get in touch with you, what are the best ways to do that?
The website is, and I'll do it slowly, www.n, like in Nancy, M, New Mexico, nmhealthsecurity.org, nmhealthsecurity.org. And on that website, you can get a lot of information. We have contact information on there, so you can get a hold of me. Or our part-time communications coordinator, Josette Haddad. And you can get a copy of the bill that was introduced in 2015. And we have a table of contents and an index. So if you're a retiree and want to know all the pages that deal with retirees, you can easily find them. And we always are very anxious to get feedback from people. And if people are interested in this area, we can come back.
And now, Dr. Koops, how did you first get involved with the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign, or how did you get interested in it?
When we came back from working overseas 7 or 8 years ago, our friends, Dr. and Mrs. Mezoff, were already involved in the New Mexico Health Security campaign, and they convinced us that this was a really great idea. And we attended a meeting in Albuquerque and got hooked. It's such an obviously good idea, bipartisan. And so over these years, we have done what we can to share the information with our friends and facilitate the process, because we'd like to see that list of 150 agencies and governments and so on go to 200, because I believe those numbers talk to people at higher levels and help them realize that this has really got a lot of popular support, and it's going to have popular support if it's going to pass in the legislature and in the executive branch of our state.
The Mezoffs, you and many other physicians in the area have cross-pollinated between IHS, GIMC, and RMCHCS over the years. With regard to physicians that you have spoken with, how do you see a plan like this changing how you work or how your associates would work?
Yes, well, I'm retired or semi-retired myself. I don't see any change in how I particularly do, but I've been hearing from doctors now over the last few days and in years, really, and as they get to know about it, they see that this would be an enormous help to them. I think doctors spend a lot, have full-time people who wrestle with these insurance issues, and a lot of doctors would really benefit, would really be happy to get rid of this whole overhead thing that they have to deal with.
And in fact, historically, if you look at the changes in the last 50 to 100 years, many individuals who have contemplated a healthcare career have been discouraged from pursuing that career by the promise of such bureaucratic overhead, yes, paperwork, everything from malpractice insurance to payment forms and processing and, mm-hmm, and the barter back and forth on what's going to be paid and how much will be paid. Could this change that dynamic dramatically for younger practitioners coming in?
Oh, I think so. As I understand what Mary has been talking about over these last days and years, I think that's very true. I know personally an oncologist or a former oncologist who simply gave up his practice because he could not stand to deal with all of this overhead stuff.
It certainly is not what health providers sign on for when they're getting into the field, when they're going to school.
They want to do medicine. They don't want to push paper.
Mary, is there anything else that you would like to share with KGLP listeners with regard to the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign, plans for marketing this campaign, plans for outreach to communities other than what you're doing right now?
Well, we definitely are want to educate people about this plan. We have thousands of supporters in our state, but we're going to need more. State legislatures tend to be very cautious about doing such major overhauls and changes, and we have gained enormous amount of support over the years, but we need more to push this to success. And so that's why I'm here in Gallup, which is very important for the people of Gallup to learn about this. There's supposedly something in the paper today and your program that helps. And then for people to feel that they can go on our website, again, www.nmhealthsecurity.org, and learn more about us and tell us if you want to be part of our network. And we very much are concerned about how local people want to operate, how what they feel is best to communicate to legislators and policymakers that this is what they want. And so we're very much a locally based organization.
Either through state representatives and senators or directly, are there any plans to coordinate on town halls or other public meetings to discuss this?
Not really. We have found that town halls are definitely not as useful as going to organizations that already have their membership there, and we can educate them, and we're given some time to do that. And that this is a very personal issue, and people have a lot of questions about how is my grandmother going to be covered? How are my kids going to be covered? I get this under my insurance plan. Will this be covered? And we feel like you need to that kind of intensive, more intimate setting rather than a big town hall. And a lot of people are intimidated about asking questions in such environments. So we have intended not to do that, but in Silver City, there's a group of people that do want something big, and so we respect that because that's their local community. But we've been to Silver City numerous times and have talked to many organizations as well. So there's a lot of support there, which is why Senator Morales is one of the chief sponsors of the bill in the Senate.
For those listeners, and there are many in McKinley County and Cibola County who do not have internet access or ready access, it's a little more trouble for them. Is there a telephone number where someone could call and ask a question or just convey comments?
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's shocking that I think it's 30% of New Mexico doesn't have access to the internet. The telephone number is 505-897-1803. That's 505-897-1803. And so you can call and leave your, ask your question, and we can send you information if you give us your address, and we can proceed from there.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Rob, Dr. Koops, do you have anything more you'd like to say?
No, except that that we need to get the word out, and I encourage people to check the website, and if they have questions, we're still at the stage where we need input from people, and if there are faults in this, we need to know about it. So please send questions and share the word with your friends.
And again, Mary, that website is
www.nmhealthsecurity.org.
I've been speaking with Mary Feldblum of the New Mexico Health Security Campaign, working on legislation for what could be called the New Mexico Health Security Act. And also here with us has been Dr. Robert Koops. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.